Len Dawson always talks about those two or three jerks. That was actually Jerry Kramer who wrote Instant Replay talking about the culture. And it is interesting, the guys sometimes that tend to get the attention, we all know, are the guys that are doing things we're not all proud of. And I'm not sure if Nick Saban's proud of the situation. He certainly did what was best for him. Solomon Wilcots of the NFL Network, CBS, tell us about yourself. How are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. Anytime we can sit down with you on Head Games Radio, it's always a good day.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, and it's an interesting day. Let's start off with the Nick Saban thing. We talked to Rick Goslin earlier in the show about it. How much of this is really a selfish thing that's in the right interest for Nick Saban, but truly damages Miami for at least a couple years?
Oh, there's no doubt it sets back the entire organization because they thought that he would be the guy to take it forward. Got a lot of players to play hard for him, those guys who kind of hung in there through tough and difficult times. A couple of years ago, remember when they fired Dave Wannstedt middle of the year, Jim Bates was a guy that many of the players wanted to see stay, and only a charismatic force like Nick Saban allowed the players to move on from their loyalty to Jim Bates to sign up to play for Nick Saban. So they thought he was their guy, but as it turns out, he's disappointed, I think, not only the players, not only the fans there in Miami, everyone within the organization, and even the owner, Wayne Huizing. He's left a lot of people very disappointed who really supported him and laid it on the line for him.
We're also joined by Larry Weissman, the live writer for USA Today. Larry, how are you?
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
Good. What's your take on this? Is this a crime against humanity, or is it just part of what goes on in the NFL?
Well, I think it's part of what goes on with Nick Saban. You know, people who follow this Alabama thing from the inside out, people who have known him over time, know that Nick loves something more than coaching, and it's money. And that's what this came down to. That's what it was all about. You know, I don't want to sit in judgment or anything, but if he told me it was raining, I'm pretty sure I would stand out there until I was soaking wet before I took his word for it.
Listen, guys, let's move on with this, because the bottom line is that this was something clearly that he said was over, was not for discussion. And that's what it is. Let's talk to something about something positive here, which is the playoffs. And let's first start with the Jets and New England. Mentor against the pupil itself. Let's start with Solomon Wilcots. How do you see this game?
Well, I do believe that Eric Mangini knows more about Belichick than maybe some of the other coaches in terms of being able to put a competitive game plan together. The key is you can't beat Bill Belichick the same way twice. And Genie has to go back to the drawing board to try to come up with another plan. I think that this time around, the third time you play a team within your division, it's always going to be a closely contested game, but I do have to give Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots the edge in this one.
Let's hear what Rich Cimini had to say yesterday about what happened last time when Eric Mangini first showed what he had up his sleeve.
They blitzed Tom Brady like he's never been blitzed before. In fact, the Jets blitzed him on 28 of his pass plays, which is just unheard of. And the Jets really sent everything at him, and Brady was dazed and confused.
Dazed and confused. Larry Weissman, when's the last time you heard Tom Brady being dazed and confused?
Probably at a Led Zeppelin concert. You know, that was the thing. The Jets, you know, they were very well prepared for that that second meeting and really, really handed it to the Patriots. And the Patriots were kind of in a stretch there where they were seeing a lot of that stuff. Certainly Miami put a lot of pressure on them as well. And I think that, you know, the Jets, they'll find a different way of doing something very similar. But this time around, I think New England, they've got the two running backs going, and that Jet defense, I just don't know that it's going to hold up. And I think this could be a big win for New England.
And New England has never lost a playoff game at home, 10-1 in the playoffs under Belichick. Is there any chance the Jets can win this game, Mr. Solomon?
Oh, I do believe there is a chance, simply because I think when you play a same team inside your division, you play that team in the playoffs, I think it's an even slate because you're so familiar with each other. The players are familiar with each other in terms of personnel and understanding what you got to do to beat the guy who's lining up across from you. I don't know that you're going to have to be able to draw up some special game plan. In fact, I don't think there's any secrets in the cupboard on this one. That's why it's going to be a closely contested game. The coaches, the players all have contempt for each other. kind of like when Pittsburgh came to Cincinnati last year. Cincinnati had that high-powered offense. But because of two teams playing each other inside the same division and having that familiarity, I think it makes for a much more interesting and more close ball game.
What about the argument, Solomon, that Tom Brady may be, shall we say, a little bit more motivated than normal because of the fact he was snubbed from the Pro Bowl team, because people were suggesting maybe he'd lost a little bit this year?
Well, I think certainly the beating that he took from the Jets last time, I think he's going to sharpen his pencil and be that much more prepared this time around. I really don't think Tom Brady has anything to prove to anyone, but knowing Tom Brady the way that I do, he's got to prove something to himself. He always wants a chip on his shoulder. He's always going to carry that something extra to make sure that he's up in the bit and ready to play. And I think this game will probably bring out the best in Tom Brady.
You know, turnovers, run game. Here's Len Dawson, one final comment that we had from yesterday's show about this matchup.
Basically, I would say New England is a better football team than the New York Jets. Now, it's going to get down to one factor, and that's going to be turnovers. And the one thing about Pennington and the Jets, that maybe they won't turn that ball over if they protect the football and they get a chance. But when you're talking about who is the better team overall, you know, and the better people playing, I would say it's going to be New England.
It's going to be New England. Moving on to a team that's hot, just like Pittsburgh was last year, Larry Weissman. Is Philadelphia, the Eagles, are they the hot team this year going into the playoffs?
I don't think there's any question that they're the hot team. I don't know overall how good they are. I'm concerned when I see a defense miss so many tackles and then all of a sudden play well for a couple of weeks. I just worry about when and where the relapse will come. And like in so many of these other games, the one guy you probably don't want to see if you're Philly is Tiki Barber, and there he is.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think is going to happen in this game for the Giants to regain that sense of confidence, especially for Eli Manning, Solomon?
Well, I think, you know, now with Kevin Gilbride being elevated to the coordinator position, I think we'll see sort of a game plan that we saw last week on Saturday night against the Redskins defense. You're going to see a lot of Tiki Barber. You're going to see some Brandon Jacobs. I think you've got to be able to test the underbelly of the Philadelphia Eagles defense, who had struggled in the middle of the season defending the run. They did play better as of late in December, but I think going in, that's the thing that you've got to test the most, and that's the way you have to protect your quarterback, Eli Manning. That is running the football.
What about with the loss of several key players on the receiving side for the Giants? What do you think is the key thing for them in this matchup, Larry?
Well, I sort of agree with Solomon on that, in that you don't want this to come down to your receivers having to beat the Eagles secondary or your battered offensive line having to figure out their blitz. You want to keep this as simple as possible. You want to keep it on the ground as often as possible. And, you know, God help the Giants if Eli Manning has to throw the ball 40 times. And I'm mindful that he led a great comeback against the Eagles early in the season, but he didn't, you know, look like Jerry Jeter back then, and now he's, for whatever announcers had to say about him in that Redskins game recently concluded. That was not a winning performance by the quarterback. That was just a massive, massive effort by the running back and his offensive line.
And speaking of quarterbacks, Solomon, Andy Reid, I think, deserves a tremendous amount of credit, but without Jeff Garcia and the way he filled in, according to Ron Jaworski, maybe he only had one great game. The bottom line is that confidence is back, that sense of magic. I don't see any way the Philadelphia Eagles aren't going to win this game.
You know, I think here's the real genius behind what Andy Reid has done. I think it's something that guys like myself and Ron Jaworski has been calling for quite some time, and that is for Andy Reid to run the football more. This offense now with Garcia at quarterback has become more of a balanced offense. They're running the ball as equally as much as they're throwing it, if not more. They're actually giving Brian Westbrook more opportunities, Correll Buckholter, and the significant part of that is the Eagles' offensive line, who we thought was pretty good going into this season, is now getting a chance to show us all what they can do. It really is the reason why the offense is playing better. It is the reason why Garcia is able to go out and make a few plays. He does throw the ball very accurately while on the run and escaping out of the pocket. But it starts also with balance in the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles, something that Andy Reid never has really been too fond of, he gets off the bus wanting to throw it around 70% of the time with Donovan McNabb. I think he's pulled it back a little bit with Jeff Garcia, not putting as much on his plate, understanding, let's balance it up, run and pass, and then play good defense.
Larry Weissman, before we let you go, is there any big surprise pending in the playoffs?
Well, you know, the Indianapolis Colts are a pretty heavy favorite at home, and I'm just getting this feeling that Larry Johnson might be able to break 9 or 10 tackles on every play, and we're going to hear more and more about a certain franchise and certain people not being able to handle a big game. This is going to be a very interesting test for the Colts.
Well, thanks for joining us, Larry. Solomon, stay with us for a second. We're going to move on to the rest of the playoffs, but it's a big picture. And Larry Weissman, thanks for painting some of it for us.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our regular on Wednesdays, Seth Joyner. And then at the end of the segment, we're going to get the latest update from Josh Burns, general manager for the Diamondbacks, about the possible return, and at this point, maybe likely return, of Randy Johnson to the Arizona Diamondbacks, giving maybe the Yankees the room they need to find some young pitching as well. We'll be right back with Solomon Wilcots and Seth Joyner in just a minute.